It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here he is, not just a radio personality.
You love it. You love that, don't you?
I just think it's so funny. Well, the point was we were trying to let people know that, look, we got all this stuff that has to go at the front of the show before I can even start talking. And, if I'm somebody listening going, golly, hurry up with all the compliance stuff already. But you know what, folks? Part of the deal is I hope you enjoy the show. Part of what makes the show what I think part the show hopefully is for you is that it's the fact that I actually do financial planning for a living. That's what I do every day. And I help people. And I'm not somebody that is, a reporter or an economist or somebody that is not actually doing financial work. So, that's part of the deal. You got to listen to the compliance stuff. Important, right, Kaylin? Very important. Kaylin's in charge of our compliance. All right, well, let's get to a couple things real quick here. Let's see. First of all, if you got a note in the mail from me, a little heart, I sent out some information to people. I try to let people know we're here to help. If you got that, take advantage of that opportunity to come in and talk with me so you'll know what I'm talking about if you got the invitation. And see what else we got. Oh, I'm working on another book. I've got the two books in the Confessions of a Financial Planner series. The first one is Secrets to Secure Retirement. Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and the second is How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. I'm working on a third book, and I've just settled on the name. It's called Expert Advice on Life's Biggest Financial Decisions, and I will be interviewing experts in different fields, as well as some of the things that I can talk about all by myself. I'll be talking about bankruptcy, divorce, estate planning, funeral planning, buying a car, how to buy a house, mortgages, all those things, how to plan a wedding, the things to do. All that stuff is stuff I'm going to cover in the new book. So if you have something you would like me to add to that list of expert advice, then send an email to info@realmoneyradio.com. info@realmoneyradio.com. Now, on today's show, of course, we got the Fastest Five coming up. Also, what you need to know about the president's budget and what's happening with taxes this year. A lot going on there. And then I've got a final segment in my Gag Me segment called The Hammer and the Nail, how to understand some of the bias and spin that goes on in financial services. So stick around, and I know you'll enjoy this program.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Okay, we're going to hit that fastest 5 minutes in finance.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Well, I don't have to say it since the intro does it, but hey, Scott, get to that fastest five, man.
It was a wacky day.
Wacky day.
Yeah, Tuesday was really a pretty crazy day. Market drifted down pretty much all day until the last half an hour, and then some news came out of Greece that this guy said this, and people believed him, and they didn't believe him last time, and the market shot back up. So at 3:30 on Tuesday, the Dow was down 80 points, and it ended up closing positive 4 points.
Here you go. Wait a minute. I got it. I was for the bailout before I was against the bailout.
That's right. It's similar to that. S&P down 1, NASDAQ flat, gold down 3, oil flat. Tens at 194. You know, I love to talk about the 10s.
Oh, yeah, you love the 10.
Tens at 194 means that 10-year treasuries are yielding 1.94%. That's still very low.
It is very low.
Even though we're seeing equity markets climb, it's not coming out of bonds.
Where's it coming from? Cash?
I think a lot of it is coming from cash, yeah. There is some sector rotation. We're seeing a lot of sector rotation out of utilities and into industrials, for example. So we're seeing a fair amount of that.
Emerging markets,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but it's not coming out of fixed income.
So that tells you that there is enough, still quite a bit of demand for the risk off, the lower risk strategies.
Yep, and we also watched the VIX, and the VIX was back up above 20 for a little while today. The VIX is nothing more than, it's kind of complicated.
That's not the stuff you rub on your chest when you're feeling bad.
Nope. All it really does is it measures the volatility of prices of options.
Okay.
Options are seen in this instance as insurance. So if the price of insurance goes up, that means risk is going up. That's all the VIX
okay,
is.
Okay, so it's basically the higher that number gets, the more perception of risk in the market.
That's exactly right. That's okay. All the VIX is.
Okay. Don't get confused. I'm here to translate, Scott. Anything else
terrific.
You need me to do, go ahead.
Okay, well, we had a fair amount of news today. It's a thin economic calendar, but on the economic front, retail sales rose less than expected, 0.4% versus economists' expectation, 0.7%. A lot of that, David, which is something we've talked about in the past, car sales.
Big part of the economy.
Well, they have been so hot that they have been up for about 7.3% over the last year, and which is really, really a hot number. So there had to be some expectation of a sort of a drop off there. And that's really what we got as far as that goes.
But it's not much. That's not much of a number.
No, it's not much of a number. And even though it missed expectations by, you know, a half a point or so, nobody really seemed to care about it, because once you broke it down and realized it was cars and we're expecting a lot of continued push on cars, was not really.
There's still quite a bit of pent-up demand out there for people wanting new cars. They're still driving those 10, 11-year-old cars.
Yeah, average age of a car on the road right now is 10 years. That's the longest it's been in maybe ever.
There you go.
Long time. Import prices up 0.3% in January. Economists polled by Reuters had expected a price gain of 0.2%. That's not such great news, but it's not.
It's not like it came back another 1% higher.
Yeah, it's not too big of a news. National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB, small business optimism rose 0.1%. So small businesses are out there. We spoke yesterday about how basically they are stretched as thin as they can without adding resources. So optimism is up, and in particular, the sub-index of expectations of hiring was also up for small businesses.
And a lot of that has to do with production. No. Productivity capabilities.
Yeah, they really are just stretched as thin as they can get. In tech news, Apple has announced that the upcoming iPad 3, which we're expecting to launch probably next month, is going to use the 4G network version of Verizon and AT&T. Again, closed above $500 on Tuesday's session. They are just spending so much money on lawsuits. They're in a lawsuit with a Chinese firm that says, hey, we trademarked that word iPad 10 years ago. And Apple says, well, that's true, but you seem to be forgetting that we bought that trademark from you.
but we still want to use it.
Yeah, so this company that says that they own it, this ProView Technology, is saying you cannot ship iPads anywhere in China, not even across the border. And Apple says, but I have this thing that says we bought it. So we'll see how that works out. And they are continuing to fight with Samsung. You know, we've talked about Apple and Samsung's legal battles a couple times, but I want to give you a little bit of context about how important it is for these two companies. In the fourth quarter of 2011, Apple's share of global smartphones, 23.5%, Samsung 22.8%.
Okay.
So every little unit makes a difference in that race for dominant smartphone
supremacy. Hey, yeah. Listen. So what's the spat about?
Which one? The Samsung one?
Yeah, yeah.
Apple is suing them. They've sued them a couple times. First time they sued them for patent infringement of technology. This time they're suing them for patent infringement of design. In particular, it's some of the things like, you know, how you slide against your iPhone to open it. They say Samsung stole
okay,
that.
Okay, so Samsung, basically, their duck walks and talks too much like
exactly.
Apple's duck.
Okay. And this time it's design, which is different than technology, which is the last one.
Okay, very interesting.
That's where we are. That's as fast as I can do 5 minutes.
That's pretty fast.
Thank
All
you.
Right, we're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. Come back. We have our Finglish to English segment. Don't miss it.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
All right, welcome back. It is time for our infamous...
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Yes, it is. We're creating quite a following on that, Scott. Everybody wants their Finglish to English translation.
How could they not?
Yeah, well, but you know, before we get into the budget, because I know everybody's dying to hear what I'm going to say about the budget, we were talking on the break about the GDP, the challenge that Greece is facing. They're contracting.
Yeah, they're contracting. The fourth quarter last year, GDP growth rate was a negative 7% if you annualize that. So they're shrinking at a rate of 7%. Now, that's the fifth year in a row of decline.
Well, and the question I had, you know, which we, again, with our brief time out, I asked you, I said, well, what does somebody do who's in Greece and says, you know, I want to get out? What do they do?
Well,
I mean, do they say, I'm going to take a one-way ticket where?
I mean, you go to the most northern part of Europe that you can find. But to put that in context, okay, so we're on 5 years of retraction. All these bailout deals are contingent on Greece returning to growth somewhere around 2014. So they have to turn 6 or 7 years of contraction into growth on the term of dime. They're not going to be able to do it. There are some sectors of that community that are 50% unemployment rates.
I, in my mind, I can't fathom how they can turn it around.
I can't either, and that's why I think that's why the Greek people are rioting, because they said, listen, we see the path you're taking us on. It's not going to work.
So what is their alternative? Do they just say, okay, look, if you got our debt, forget it. It's not worth anything. We need a new government. We're going to say we're not going to pay anybody. We're going to default, and we're going to start over, and we're going to go back to, what's it called, the drachma?
The drachma, yeah.
Okay.
There has to be consequences to that, because otherwise then Portugal does it, Spain does it, Ireland does it. Everybody says, forget it, we're not paying you back what we owe you, and let's just start from
scratch. Well, I think the consequence would have to be that they become, you know, an island unto themselves.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do business with them, so to speak.
Right.
I mean, nobody's going to loan them money ever again. What is it? You know, we haven't really had this in our quote unquote modern day.
Yeah.
You know, Zimbabwe, of course, everybody knows the story of Zimbabwe, and they just imploded. Their currency became worthless. You know, and we have floating around our office $100 trillion Zimbabwean notes.
Yeah.
And you know, what does a country do when they face that and they just say, okay? And I mean, nobody's going to come and take their house. You see, I mean, that's the reality, because we have the sovereignty of each country. So what happens? They just, we're done, and what are you going to do?
Yeah, they would basically have to reprice every asset they have, go to their own currency. They'd have to start their own new trade negotiations because they'd no longer be part of the union. I mean, they'd have to basically start from scratch as an emerging economy. And if they leave the European Union, what's keeping Germany from saying, hey, we're the big kid on the block. We don't need any of you.
So it could be, and that's, I think, probably really what everybody's worried about, is it becomes the first break in the chain.
Yeah.
And once the link is broken, well, then everybody's literally is jumping ship.
That's right. Because for an economy the size of Maryland, we shouldn't be talking about it ever, let alone anywhere near as often as we do.
Well, there you are. Well, let's talk about something that's, well, there you are. It's the budget. I want to talk a little bit about what people need to know. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I want to make sure that we've got our eyes and ears open on this this showdown that is coming for the United States. You know, we look at what happens overseas and some of the challenges, but boy, we've got some serious stuff coming our way on the budget and our political process and our system and how things are going to work. Right now, the budget that's been put forth by the president is, and everybody's got, you know, it's all it's splashed all over the media and the press and the television, that it, everybody, I think, recognizes it for what it is, which is it is going to have a lot of, still has a lot of spending, and it, our debt reduction really is not there, and the people that are going to get hit the hardest are going to be the people that make, you know, there's about 3%, yeah, about 3% of tax returns, the people that are over that $200,000, $250,000 mark, the higher income people, are going to bear the brunt of the tax increases. So what I see, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm just going to share you my opinion here, what I see is pretty, not vague, it's pretty clear that we have basically an attack or a targeting of the 3% of the population that makes over 250, or the 3% of taxpayers that make over 250. Now, that to me, really, it almost is like looking at a minority of the population, which they are, and because they don't have the votes, they're going, it really comes down to votes. It's like having 100 people on a boat, and you say, you know what, we don't have enough, we're taking on water. You know what, we need to lose three people. You know, I mean, it's, so the reality here is that it's discriminatory, it's picking on a minority, and it is not an equitable thing. One of the things that's being thrown around a lot, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be on tune for this. There's a code word being used. The code word is fair. You know, we're going to ask those that are very well off to pay their fair share, pay their fair share, pay their fair share. Well, I went to the dictionary, and I'll see if I can grab it in my big stack here, and I looked up the definition of fair. And if I look at the definition of fair, let's see, this is dictionary.com. Okay, pretty easy to find. The definition of fair is impartial, disinterested, unprejudiced. What else we got? Not discriminatory, free from bias, dishonesty, or injustice. So fairness is not what I'm hearing. Now, the fair term that's being thrown around is that these people aren't paying their fair share. Well, in reality, those people, that 3% that are making over $200,000, $250,000 a year, are actually shouldering an enormous amount. And I think we need to ask ourselves, what are we really doing here? The top 5%, according to the IRS, 2009 tax numbers, the top 5% of taxpayers pay almost 60% of all taxes. So they're actually paying more than their fair share. What's happening here is there's this mixing of messages. When the politicians say fair, they want you to think that means equal, like it's equality. It's all fair and everybody's doing the same thing. Well, it's not equal. Equal is everybody gets the same, or everybody pays the same, like the same percentage in their taxes. We have a fairness, and fairness is what's fair to me, or fair to you, or fair to Scott, or fair to whoever, is going to be a matter of judgment. So make no mistake what's going on here, that is a increasing the share of taxes that we have to pay to the government to run the government. We may disagree on what we spend our money on, but make no mistake that the percentage of the taxes that are being paid have been steadily increasing for those people that make more income. And I did a bunch of research on this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, almost wish I didn't look at this. It's really amazing the percentage. Let me show you this. Let me get it here. Here we go. I've got a sticky note on this. The amount of taxes being paid by the top 10% of taxpayers has gone from being 50% to almost 70% of all taxes over the last 30 years. So it's not like they're not paying their share, but they're paying an increasingly larger share. So the budget that's been put on the table by the president is asking, in the pursuit of fairness, quote unquote, is asking these people who are already shouldering some 70% of the taxes, 10% paying 70% of the taxes, to do more of that, to make it more fair? So it doesn't make sense. So I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to continue this conversation. What I want to talk about is the steps you need to take. I talked about some of them yesterday. I want to talk about a couple more things that I want you to seize on, because there's some things that are going to change regardless of how this shakes out. So stick around.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 on West Channel 2, starting February 20th.
We're back and we're ready to go. I know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little bit fired up about this, but you know, and I'm not in the highest bracket. I'm an independent business owner, and my income fluctuates. And you know, some years I make more money, some years I make less. And this is not a self-interested or I'm going to get hammered on taxes. What I'm trying to communicate here is that this is a bad direction. We're trying to grow our economy, and we're trying to build it and create jobs that is good for everybody. And I don't think we get there by jacking the tax rates through the roof. You've got the potential for capital gains, which are right now 15% for a lot of people. Although if you are in the 15% income tax bracket, if you're married and you are making $70,000 or less, which is a lot of people, you've got no capital gains tax right now. The 10 and 15% tax brackets, you've got 0% on capital gains. It's going to go to 20%. And for the people already paying 15, it goes to 20. Dividends are going to go from being taxed at ordinary income bracket, 10, 15%, whatever you're in, to as high as 39.6. And then they got this extra healthcare tax. So these taxes, it's going to jump up for a lot of people. And heaven help you if you've got an estate planning situation, the tax rates could go as high as 55% for inheritances and estate taxes. So what I want you to be on the alert for is that if you, this year for 2012, I want you to be thinking about Roth conversions. You know, for a while there, it looked like they're really good. And then this year, maybe people are like, I'm not sure if I want to do a Roth conversion. Well, if taxes are going to jump up, might be worth looking at the Roth conversion again of an existing IRA. Also, we might want to take a look at your estate planning. And if you've got some significant assets, if you've got, you know, dollars in terms of you've got millions of dollars, not hundreds of thousands, but millions, you need to definitely look at your estate planning. If you have significantly appreciated assets, especially in the stock market, I would definitely take a look at not necessarily getting out of the market, but look at selling some things that you've got some high gains on, because you might be able to reduce your taxes by doing it this year, bird in hand, versus waiting till next year when capital gains could be 20% or more. And I think what we're going to have to start looking at, and I've already started doing this with my clients, is we're already looking at tax deferral and tax-free strategies. What things can we do that will be tax-free when we enter this higher tax environment? And what can we do to defer taxes to get us through what hopefully will not be a long period of higher taxation, but we've got to be smart. And we've also got to make sure that when you take money, you take it out the right way. We don't want to take large dollar amounts out of your IRA or something else that's going to generate a lot of taxes. So we need to look at minimizing the withdrawals from IRAs when they're going to be exposed to higher taxation. You need to make sure that you're drawing properly from these things. If you've got an annuity and you're trying to draw income from it, there's some different ways to look at how to do that so that you don't pay more in taxes. It's going to become even more important to do tax management as we go into 2013. I know we're early on this, but it's not too soon to start thinking about it. Last couple of years has been about protecting your money and trying to rebuild from the market losses that we've all seen and experienced. But going forward, it's going to be a lot to do with, yes, still planning income and yields, still wanting growth, but this tax thing is going to jump up in importance. So I want to caution you on how that's going to factor in. And you know what's funny? One other thing about the taxes It's not that tax revenues are down and all of a sudden we got to jack them through the roof. We've got to boost tax revenue because tax revenues have fallen. They slipped a little bit, of course, in 2009-10 with everything going down and not being as good with the recession and all of that. But tax revenue for our government has more than tripled since 1965. So we do not have a tax revenue problem. You know what our problem is. It's a spending problem. It's an efficiency problem. It's accountability, and it's making sure that we're wise with those dollars and that these folks that we elect to run the country, they are elected. We hire them, we fire them. We are shareholders, you and I, of the American corporation, and we hire them to do their job. If they do their job, you can keep your job. Just like in the real world, the rest of us, if you do your job well, you keep your job. If you don't, you lose your job. And so that applies across the board, left, right, middle, all that. So that is my take on what's happening right now. The next showdown is also on payroll taxes. That's coming, and that's going to be another fight. So we all need to share, but in a true, fair, and equal way. All this stuff about taxes can be really simplified if we simply just make it very easy and we pay 10%, 15%, whatever the rate is. And I'm going to keep repeating that because I think that's a message that we all need to be thinking about, how this can be a truly equitable system. You make 10 times the amount of money, you pay 10 times the tax, but not bearing 70, 80% of the tax load. Come on. All right. There you go. We'll come back from another short break, and I'm going to talk about a couple other important topics. Stick around.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Okay, well, I'm going to get started here. Lisa's over there doing the math because I know I've run over a little bit on these segments, but this is important stuff, so I'll stop talking about it. Let me talk about something else, and I'll get this in quickly in my remaining time today. There's another issue that I want you to be on alert for, and I call it the hammer and the nail. So hit it, Lisa.
That's like so totally disgusting. I'm like so sure. It's like barf me out. Ew, gag me with a spoon.
Yeah, gag me. Here's what I'm gagging about. It's called the hammer and the nail. And it's really an alert to you as well. And what I'm talking about is the spin that goes on in finances. And so I want you to be on guard. And there's an old saying, and I didn't make it up, but I've used it a lot, and everybody hears it from me, is when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Okay? If all you do is sell mutual funds for a commission, well, then guess what? You think everybody needs one. At least that's going to be the motivation. Now, of course, business ethics can override that, and somebody who is a good advisor who happens to sell mutual funds can say, no, this person doesn't need it. But obviously, there's a built-in incentive. So I want you to be on guard that whenever you're working with people, and I'm simply just, the point of this is I'm tired of the biases. I hear about it and see it all the time in the news and or in different places. You've got to be on your guard. You need a tool. You need somebody that has a tool belt. You need, or work with multiple advisors. And I saw a report out the other day that a lot of people work more than one advisor because they're trying to make sure that they have more than one tool in the toolbox. Mutual funds, annuities, life insurance, real estate investment trusts, individual stocks, individual bonds, all of these things have their place in a portfolio that is properly constructed. There's no one thing that can solve everything. So I promise to talk more about that on the next show. Keep that in mind.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt.
Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.